Welcome back, everybody, to We Are TPM with myself, Kyle Teixeira, sitting again next to John Teixeira. This week, we are back to discuss why not do it myself. So if you have any questions about, you know, that or anything else we discuss on this podcast, give us a call, 817-818-9039. Shoot us an email at showmethemoney@wearetpm.com. Let's get into it. Why not do it myself?
Did you get a frog in your voice there, right there?
I don't know.
A little bit.
What are we applying this question to?
Why not do it yourself? So
myself.
We're talking about property management here, right? We're talking about renting, like you have a rental property, and should you do it yourself? So
that's probably the best subject matter to talk about with that question. So
we kind of want to do a little bit of a reset with this, right? And start fresh a little bit from, you know, why we do this, right? It's about helping people build wealth, but more specifically, it's about helping people build wealth by sharing the pains and the victories that come with owning a rental property, right?
Yeah, I think we're going to break some of that down in later weeks. But in reality, it's I guess we want to take a high-level approach to this. Why not do it yourself? It brings into the fact that we do, our passion for doing this is to help people build wealth with real estate. Well, wealth isn't just a number. Wealth to me and to us isn't just building a money, you know, a bag of money or a bag of assets or any of that. You know, part of being wealthy is being happy, right? You know, you have to be, you have to, it doesn't matter how much money you have if you hate what you do and all that stuff, right? So
I love it.
That's the first answer, why not do it myself? The first answer to that is, it kind of sucks to do it yourself.
It kind of sucks. Why do you want to create a job? Did you buy a rental property so that you can have a job? Like, you can just go get a job if you want to get a job. It pays money too.
Yeah, there's a lot less risk. You know, downside is less. At least you know your upside in that scenario. So
I like the way you took that, Kyle. Passion, vision, right? And legacy, right? I'm sitting here thinking about, I'm the older of the two of us, clearly. And so I'm thinking about legacy for me, right? Like, as I do this, I think about, you're probably just now thinking about it with having your first son, but you know, having something that you can not just live out your life with, but maybe pass on to other people so that they can live out their lives a little bit better, right?
Yeah, I mean, in bringing it back to that, I mean, even, you know, part of that is, you know, you said I just had a son. Having time with your family is a way of being, having a wealth of time, right? Even if you do hate your job, at least you have more time at with your family if you build wealth through real estate or give you more freedom, because that's really what I meant. That's what everybody strives for when they want to be wealthy. They want freedom.
I love where this conversation is going, but I think we need to reset and retitle it, Why Buy Real Estate? And just do another separate podcast why you should have us manage your property.
We already talked about, you'll buy it all, but you know, once you own it, this is what makes you wealthy with it, right? This is how you build that wealth with real estate is, you know, there are certain things you should do yourself. There are certain things you shouldn't, so...
So here's a cool analogy I thought of. So we have some friends that just opened up a ice cream shop recently, right? Mm. So one of the things we'd like to talk about and try to remind our clients is what we do using our processes and our systems, which we can get into in later podcasts, is we create security and certainty, right? That's what people really want when they open a business, especially when they buy a rental property, right? They're looking for that security and that to know what's going to happen. And you and I have that more than anybody else, right? Even the person that has, especially the person that has one, but even the person that has 10, right? It's not till they have several that they really create that, okay, now I know how this is going to go. I know what's going to happen. I have some certainty in my decision-making. And because we manage so many, we have a lot of that certainty. So my analogy that I was thinking of was an ice cream shop. If you were looking to open an ice cream shop, and I'm going to make up these numbers, but let's say the average ice cream shop sells 400 to 500 cones a day, and you had an opportunity to buy one that with certainty sold 750 to 1,000 a day. That's a slam dunk decision, right? Like, you'd rather do that than, even if you're paying somebody something a little bit, rather than trying to figure it out and sell $400 or $500. Right?
I get what you're saying. If my desire is to open an ice cream shop, yeah. Right, right. You're talking about franchising versus just making your own brand, right?
Somebody's already got the systems. It's already done. They're going to do it all for you. All you got to go in is check in and check out, and you're going to sell 750 to 1,000 cones.
Mm-hmm.
And make a little bit less per cone, maybe, just a tad bit, right? But if you try to figure it all out, you're going to be there for 18 hours a day. You're going to make a bunch of mistakes. It's going to cost you a bunch of money, and you're only going to sell 400 to 500 cones.
Well, yeah, exactly. I mean, investors make these analyses all the time throughout the rental property process, right? They analyze deals before they buy them. They analyze estimates and contractors and work that needs to be done based on how much it's going to cost versus how much it's going to reward, you know, what's the cost reward. And then they get, you know, then they'll figure out if they're going to sell it or rent it based on the same analysis. You analyze all these things in the steps of the process of building wealth with real estate. And then they get to the property manager and they're like, nah. Yeah, I'll do it myself. And I'm like, but they don't look at the numbers. They don't look at the time, the energy, the on-call, you know, all this stuff that goes into it. And I think when you actually analyze those numbers, which is what we're going to talk about, it makes sense. They make sense just like, well, the other ones. Like, okay. you don't renovate the whole house yourself, right?
Right.
Nobody even questions that one most of the time. Am I going to hire someone to flip this house? Probably. Some people do it themselves. We've talked about that, but... There's the time.
Sit on the couch and paint cabinets.
But there's a time consideration there, right? It's going to take you longer in most cases than a contractor. You know, that you can get into why you should pick contractors based on time too. Okay. So
let's keep this high level. I'm sitting here thinking we're trying to keep it high level. Let's keep it high level. So cost, we've talked about that, and we dive into that. That's a whole nother, podcast, but. The bottom line is, shouldn't you do it yourself? I guess I'm changing it up a little bit. Can you do it yourself? Yes, you can. Why shouldn't you? Because it'll cost you a lot more for a whole bunch of reasons, right? Like you just mentioned, turnover, screening, collection processes, eviction processes, all of those things cost you. The person who doesn't have systems and processes in place costs them way more money. How many times have we taken over properties that somebody gave to us and said, I just spent 5 months not getting rent?
Very many times.
And you just shake your head and you go, you should never get 5 months in.
Well, like, even if you have 10 properties and one of them sits vacant for 5 months, that is more money than what you'd pay a property manager to manage all 10.
Yeah. Yeah,
in loss rent.
We have past podcasts about vacancy rate that goes into a lot of this, so cost. What else? Peace of mind. We talked a little bit about freedom and so forth, but how about just peace of mind and security? That's what we're talking about, right?
Yeah, convenience.
Yeah, like knowing that you're going to get a certain something out of it, that and you're not having to put all the effort into it, right? Like, nobody should buy a piece of property and make it a job. It should be a business. If you're going to open the ice cream shop, hire somebody that knows how to run an ice cream shop to run it for you.
Yeah, so cost, convenience, I'd argue liability is one, you know. Are you going to protect yourself from liability by doing it yourself with an LLC and pay those business costs and file on them every year? And how's that compared to a property manager that'll just protect your liability that way? That can be a big one, because people are a lot more likely to sue a landlord than a property manager in most cases.
Yep.
So we won't dive into that. We'll just keep that high level. I think value would be the fourth one. Getting value out of your property, whether it be a higher rent rate that you can go get yourself that offsets those management fees, or value to the tenant because they actually have systems and processes on their side rather than having one point of contact and one way to pay and all these things. Fifth one that our host is helping push us towards is emotions, right? Mm-hmm. We've never talked about emotions, so we got to dive into this one.
Fear-based decisions.
Emotion-based decisions are removed from the equation. as much as they can be.
Here's one that's the biggest one. Can I give you what I think is the biggest one? We're kind of going through all the obvious ones. Can I give you the biggest one?
Go ahead.
How about your ability to expand your business?
There you go. Growth.
Growth. I mean, you know what I think about? I think about the Seatons. They were the first podcast we did with Kevin in January, right? Actually, was it just... Yeah, they were both here.
One of the first, but yes.
And what a blessing they have been to this podcast. And they're a great example of... I think they dumped 30 properties on us, 35, something like that. And they were doing it themselves. And they just got to a point they're like, man, this is too much work and this is a job. And they couldn't dump the keys on our desk fast enough, right? As soon as they decided, they were like, bam, bam, bam. And you know what they did since then? They've expanded quickly to like over 100 doors because they had the time now to focus on growth.
It's passion. A lot of people get passionate about building a rental portfolio, right. Get passionate about the building part, not the sustaining part.
Not the task part.
Yeah, not the management part. You know, right. They get passionate about finding deals and getting good deals, closing deals, going and finding new ones. You know, that initial acquisition, you know, that's what they were passionate about. That's what drove them further in it. But when the management part of it became too much of a PIA, it stopped the growth. It hindered the growth. Yeah, and then they were right back at it, you know? They handed over right back at it.
So everybody does this with every business they open, right?
Well, in the management, as you grow, the management of it is going to grow in comparison to, yep. It's going to become harder. You know, managing 10 is harder than managing 1. That's just a numbers game.
Yep.
Yeah.
When Warren Buffett buys a business, I guarantee you he doesn't jump in and start running the business, right? He makes sure that there's good people in there that manage the business for him, right? Because he's got a whole bunch of businesses.
You love bringing Warren Buffett up as if he buys businesses all
Elon
the time.
Musk, who do you want me? He does. He's constantly buying businesses.
He's buying stock in businesses these days. He's not buying them out, but yeah. That's happened before.
I happen to know of several businesses that he's actually
bought. When he overtakes businesses, yes, he puts in a good board of directors to run it. You know, he's generally not.
That's how you build wealth. I mean, that's how the rich build wealth. That's how we should be building wealth, even if we're not rich, right? That's the same principle. It doesn't matter what level you are at. And if you're buying your first rental property and you're trying to manage it, you're making a whole bunch of mistakes for a whole bunch of reasons that we've described here, right? And
yeah,
one of the biggest ones is that you cannot expand your business to the second property now.
I think it is the biggest one because it's why not do it yourself? Because you need to focus on things that you should be doing yourself, right? Like your property manager, in most cases, unless you instruct them or use in this way, it's just for the sake of this argument, let's say that they don't do it. They are not going to grow your rental portfolio for you. That is something you should be doing yourself. Now, can your property manager also be a realtor and those things happen? Yes. But the point is you need to be able to focus on growth, not the weeds, right?
Yeah, absolutely.
You can't.
I mean, I assume the reason why you decided, somebody inspired you to buy real estate for rental property for all the right reasons, and then you get the rental property and you do all the wrong things for the opposite reasons, right? Mm-hmm. Like, I want freedom, I want passive income, I want, you know, to build wealth for my family, and then you jump in and end up being a property manager and you got a job now. Like,
yeah.
That's no fun. Why would you do that?
Well, and the same goes for the accidental landlord or the person who has no intention of growing the rental portfolio. They just ended up with one. Why not do it yourself? Because... again, you were accidental. It's not why. You're not going to do the best you could for that asset. And if you want it to be convenient and not a headache, and then that leads to emotional decisions and probably ultimately dumping it when something goes wrong or you have to figure out how to evict the tenant, you know, that's why you don't do it yourself.
Yeah, there's something... just so many pain points along the road, isn't there?
Yeah. And people find people who do it themselves. And then you ask what's the worst thing that's ever happened in this experience. And sometimes there's lucky ones who got a tenant. They lived there for 10 years. They paid their rent every month. They did their own repairs, blah, blah, blah. Okay. That's a cool argument, but it's rare and unlikely.
But you and I could look and evaluate that situation and still find leaks in what they did. Like, we could still find things that were done wrong and cost them money, even with the good experience. Remember, we did that one podcast about how you can do this wrong and still win, right?
Yeah, or they forgot to keep the rent up to market value, and you gave all of your value away to this other tenant.
They stayed there for 10 years because you didn't raise my rent, and I'm still paying $800
a month. And is that story really over, right? Because a lot of people who speak that way, they did it themselves, and they said it was the best experience ever. That tenant still lives there, and then I ask them 2 years later, and it's like, oh, no, they trashed it. They cost me $50,000 in repairs. It was horrible. Mm-hmm. I never should have done it myself. You know, or did they get to the finish line and sell it for a huge profit and keep it up to rent? You know, I'm sure those scenarios exist, but they didn't exist from absolutely no work. They did. You did not get that perfect scenario, and all those things had fallen into place just by pure luck. You know, and maybe there's one in a million people who do, and sure, okay, well, you can find that in anything, but we're talking about the general example.
Yeah.
So.
So one of the reasons why we talk about this, I'm just sitting here thinking about a conversation we had with one of our coaches, right, Kyle, and some statistics that he shared with us. And I don't know what the statistic is in our marketplace specifically. I thought it was a lot lower than this, actually. But he shared with us that 30% of the rental homes this might be because of institutional buying recently, but 30% of the rental homes in America are professionally managed. That means 7 out of 10 people don't have a property manager because they either don't know what property managers do, they're not aware that they exist. You know, we have Zillow and all this stuff that makes it so easy for people to do things on their own. Again, doesn't make it easy for them to make the right decisions, but it makes it easy for them to try, right? And in Australia, he said he pointed out that 80% are managed by a property manager. That's a huge difference from one culture to another. Like, one culture doesn't even consider property management 7 out of 10 times, and another culture won't even have a rental property without a property manager. That's a huge shift in perception, right?
It is, and it could have something to do with the expertise in the areas. I also know that 90% of Australia is on the coasts, right? And maybe coastal property or stuff in those.
Australia's a pretty big country. They got a lot of inland. Huge. I'm not sure that that's true.
90% of the population's on the coast somewhere, but and I imagine that's where the houses are as well, if that's where the population is. But I don't know. Maybe it's just, you know, normal people don't know how to deal with kangaroos trashing your unit. It is an interesting stat, though. It's a norm, though.
I think it's perception. I think it's just perception is all it is. I mean, they have somehow created the perception that property management is necessary, right? They've done a good job of communicating that, and the culture as a whole has accepted that that is the way to go so that they can build more wealth and make more money.
Well, and it probably speaks to what we talk about a lot on this podcast about how a good property manager makes you more money. All of these why not do it yourself things we've talked about could all apply to a bad property manager. So, and there are a lot out there that aren't good and are going to cause a lot of these same problems. And that's why, you know, vetting and all that stuff. Too. So that's good. So I think it's a mix. But if you're in Australia, why not do it yourself? It's because 80% of people don't. So why are you going to be that 20, right? Well, and the stats we saw also showed that the 70% that do it themselves on average make less in rent.
You know what? I wouldn't want to compete against me, right?
No.
Would you?
No.
Would you want to compete against us?
I would not. And the landlords who, you know, lease this stuff on Zillow for after 2-3 months of it being live, that it's a time consideration, time and money.
A good property manager has a fee, and whatever that fee is will be made up through their expertise, their processes, and their services, right? They will more than make up that fee. They should make you probably 5 times more than their fee. In the overall, you know, through the saving of expenses, through rentals, through vacancy days. I mean, all the things we've talked about, their collection process should save you tons, right? Should save you tons more.
It's like Gary Vee says, right? You either got time or you got money.
Mm-hmm.
You're going to spend one of them.
You're going to spend one of them. So. Yep. And you only have so much of both.
What do you want to spend your time doing it? If you want to spend more, because you're going to spend more time than you probably would spend money. So what's your hourly rate as you're doing it yourself, property manager? What's your hourly rate? See if that helps you, you know?
So I like to use this term on how people like to trip over dollars to get to pennies, right?
I think it was trip over cents to get to dollars. No,
nope.
Dollars to get
they
to
trip
cents.
Over dollars to get to pennies. I said it right.
Yeah, you got it.
Goodness gracious.
All right, so we're going to dive into some of these topics here in the next couple of weeks. But for now, I think the why don't you do it yourself question, or why not do it myself question, is really just don't, you know.
Yeah, I mean... I would never advise anybody to do it themselves. I would advise everybody to find a property manager. And I'm talking to people in all kinds of markets that we don't service, right? I don't care what market you're in. I'm not saying that because I want my phone to ring. My phone will ring if I deserve my phone to ring, right? What I'm telling you is no matter where you are, if you have a rental property, you should get out of it. Put the hammer down, back away, and go spend time finding a great manager. And if you find one that sucks, then fire them and go find another good one. And don't give up on the process, but do it right.
And when use that time to grow it, really, you know, why not do it myself so that I have more time to grow it?
Yeah,
that's the real answer.
So you can go do more.
We could do a whole podcast why you don't do your taxes yourself anymore, right? It's the same thing applies because it needs to be done right.
Yep.
Or it can cost you money.
And that bank account that you have, hopefully have set aside for your next house, right? That this house is maybe funding will grow so much faster. It just will. It'll grow faster. So do it. Close us out, Kyle.
All right. You guys have any questions about why not to do it yourself or just want to re-listen to this podcast and need a link? Give us a call, 817-818-9039. Choose an email at showmethemoney@wearetpm.com, and we are out.